So the Suicide Case Registry is a population-based surveillance. So any infant that dies in any one of these states, suddenly and unexpectedly, without an immediately obvious cause, are in this database. The question from the audience is what are included in the variables that we collect. Yes, there's, like I said, about 1,200 variables, and you can best believe a lot of them are demographic. So, race, income level, we sometimes use insurance payer as proxy for income. In the majority of our cases, you'll find our states will be talking about our Medicaid, and we definitely have race, ethnicity. We don't get where they live because we get de-identified data at the CDC, but the states can see that. The states see that. They can drill it down to the county. They can drill it down to the address. And they can GIS map it even. But CDC doesn't have that capability, but the states do, and we're teaching them to use their own data. So the question from the audience was about prevention and how they use the data to move forward. I think you'll see a couple of examples when Lisa from New Jersey and Shannon from Michigan come up and speak, and we can have a longer question and answer session in the end. But yeah, they definitely, we're trying to teach them how to use their own data to target their prevention messages. So it might be in the north part of the state, the south part of the state. It might be something different for Native Americans in New Mexico versus Atlanta African Americans. So they are looking at their own data and tailoring their message. One more question?
Are the slides going to be available via
email? Are the slides available via email is the question. I believe American Public Health Association makes these slides available.
Yeah, they're taping.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and we're being taped as we. That's why I'm repeating your question.
I think if you're a member, you can know. I think a tenant account can know what it's going to be here.
Oh, okay.
And one more question.
For ASSB, what is it that's tipping someone to be able to make that diagnosis given that there's no suffocation?
There's a question from the audience about what makes what leads a medical examiner or death certifier to choose ASSB as a cause of death. We're trying to figure that out. And actually, CDC has in the works right now, it's an OMB clearance. It is a survey, a nationally representative survey of death certifiers, and we give them a bunch of vignettes and say, what would you call this? What other information would you need to call this suffocation? Do you even use suffocation as a cause of death diagnosis? Some don't. They don't believe in it. They believe in SIDS only. So we're trying to take the temperature.
Some don't believe in SIDS.
Some don't believe in SIDS, so we're all over the map. Okay, with that, Terry, you want to tell us about child death review?
Good morning. So first, can we have a minute of silence for the Detroit Tigers? Do you know how hard, I'm a serious Tiger fan, I had to listen to that last night in my room. Oh my God, it was painful. I'm going to talk about child death review. Where are you guys all from? We're a small enough group. I think we can just get a real quick sense of where you're from. Can we just go around real quick?
I'm a reporter from
New York. New York reporter. Oh, sorry you're here and not there. More stories over there today, right?
I'm retired from Sedgwick, Beetle County here in California.
Okay, great.
Orange County, and I'm on the child death
review. Oh, good. Good to know. Great, okay. Oh, yeah, big trendsetters.
New state grantee.
That's right.
I'm from Texas, and my wife works for the Travis County Medical Center.
Oh. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Sorry.
Minnesota. Okay, and you guys are a grantee. Okay. Yep. Okay.
I'm from South Carolina.
Gotcha. All right.
All over the place.
all over the place, and I'm going to spend some time telling you what child death review is, but maybe, except for the reporter, everybody else here knows what it is. Do you know what child death review is? No. Okay, good. All right, so I don't have any relationships, unfortunately. So I'm going to talk about the elements that are necessary for an effective infant death review. I'm going to list some of the outcomes from effective reviews, as you had asked about that, and then talk about some of the steps that are being taken in people's own communities to improve their child death review to better inform what we know about sudden unexpected infant deaths. In a nutshell, those of you know this, child death review is simply a bunch of people coming together from a lot of different disciplines in the perfect world, that really sit around the table and they share all of the case information that they each bring from their own discipline to the table, and they share to better understand the circumstances in the deaths, and then to use that information at a local level and a state level to try to catalyze action to prevent deaths. Reviews are very multidisciplinary. These are the sorts of folks that you would hope would be on a SUID case review meeting. Always, the first five or six are core, is how we think of it, medical examiner, coroner, public health, law enforcement, CPS, the prosecutor. We've recently really encouraged pediatricians to attend. In fact, at the AAP meeting last week in New Orleans, they actually sponsored, oh my goodness.
Uh-oh.
Whoop, something just started beeping.
I'll go find somebody.
What happened?
I don't know.
Oh, wait.
It's not up here.
I know.
No. You can hear it beeping.
Yep. I'll go find it.
Well, whatever. Okay. At the AAP meeting last, we have really had some problems with this room. Public health for flexible, right? At the American Academy of Pediatrics meeting last week in New Orleans, they've actually had a resolution passed to encourage the Academy to build infrastructure to support pediatricians participating on death reviews. So we're really excited about that. But you also really want folks from emergency medical services, your community hospitals, daycare licensing. For the SUID deaths, we're doing some work trying to encourage tribal members to participate when folks are living in communities that have tribes, et cetera. It's beeping. And the kinds of records that you would share would be the scene investigation reports that law enforcement or the medical examiner investigators would often bring, your medical examiner coroner autopsy reports, EMS run reports. If the public health department had done home visits, you would want home visit information, family histories. Some places are able to actually do home interviews, oftentimes as part of the scene investigation, so you'd want to bring that. I'll tell you what we're learning is that the DAL reenactment information from the reviews is really important, and when that information's not there, that's when you get into a lot of, how the heck did you know this was suffocation? I was recently at a state team meeting, the state not to be named, and they were reviewing their SUID deaths, and they were called some were called this, some were called that, and the team just sort of was making up the decision without having, and I sort of said, but you guys don't really know what was going on at the scene. You don't even know where the baby was found. It's without knowing that kind of information, where the baby was placed and where the baby was found at the time of the death, it's really hard to make these determinations. But people are struggling, and we're hoping they do, and The review is really intended to be pretty multi-systems and complex. We're trying to improve both the investigation and the diagnosis of the death, the delivery of services and the improvement of agency systems, and then, of course, prevention. And wrapping that all together is improving interagency communication. Some of the things that happen in terms of improving the investigations is that your teams can help make sure that the investigations happen sooner than later. So instead of going back in a week to talk to the family, somebody holds the scene at the time of the incident when the EMS is called, and folks can get back. We're trying to improve how the investigations are coordinated across agencies so you don't have five agencies going in and interviewing the parents. You might do it together. That the agencies are talking to each other and using the information together. Using protocols, the CDC has wonderful investigation protocols. If you guys don't know about them, you can actually get them from CDC.org/SIDS. Doing DAL reenactments, you'd mentioned that with New Jersey's training. Using forensic pathologists instead of the local coroner, who also happens to be either the funeral home director or the local auto mechanic, to make the declaration of death. And then funding investigations and doing training for investigators. And we've really seen a large improvement since we've been doing death reviews in how investigations are conducted. Absolute huge improvements. So one of the things we're trying to get to is, in the old days, when I started child death review in Michigan, and even up to 10 years ago, when you asked someone how a child died, well, they were on the couch. That's what we knew. But now that we're doing better investigations and we're using dolls, we can say, this is where the baby was found and how the baby was placed. Or we can say, well, the baby was sleeping with dad, but that used to be all we know. But now that we're doing doll reenactments, the dads can reenact how they found the baby when they woke up. Or the baby was sleeping on our bed, but what we really know now is the baby was sleeping on our bed under a pillow with blankets over it. Gives you a sense of what these investigations can do by improving them. The baby was in a bassinet, but really the baby's in a bassinet with a lot of blankets over it. So these kinds of reenactments are really, really important to driving what we know in with our death reviews. That's kind of where's the baby sort of situation. And a lot of this is, you know, we all knew back is best, but what we didn't realize for a number of years is back is best as long as all this other stuff is safe too, and that's really where we're moving to. The other thing child death reviews can really help to do is inform the diagnosis, you know, because this stuff's being called everything and to meet everybody's needs. The teams can really work to improve services, so understanding what kind of services families were getting before and after the death, making sure everybody's sort of taken care of, helping first responders, witnesses, and community members, thinking about what other services are that need to be put in place for the community or for the families if they weren't there already. And then looking at how you can improve systems. So how can we better share SUID data across our agencies? How can we bring in more partners around prevention and services? Improving record sharing, coming together to plan prevention work. We talked about a number of states have state SIDS task forces. Certainly the reviews are improving vital stats by having better information. And then working harder and smarter for high-risk populations. We know now that SUID deaths really are becoming more clustered in high-risk populations, more so than ever we think. And these are what, when our teams meet, we really want them to dig, I call it, you know, looking below the water, the surface, or peeling the onion, or digging through the rock, you know, the bedrock to find the golden nugget. Whatever it is, you're trying to find the risk factors that you can do something about. And that's the most important part about death review. Finding the risk factors in these deaths that you can actually mitigate at a local, state, or national level. So we're always trying to teach our teams, you know, now that you know what happened and what risk factors are modifiable, what as a review team are you going to do to prevent other deaths? And there's lots of layers when you're looking at preventing SUID deaths. What we do know, you know, for a long time everybody said SIDS wasn't preventable, but what we really know is the risk factors, regardless of what you call it, whether you call it SIDS or suffocation or something in the middle, undetermined, it's the same set of risk factors. So it's using that knowledge to create these myriad of layers of prevention, whether, and I'm not going to go through this whole list, but it's just give you a sense of some of the things that are out there. This is an example of a really comprehensive program in York, Pennsylvania. It's hospital-based, but they've got tentacles all the way out to the community so that everybody coming into this hospital setting, this is a neonatologist, Dr. Michael Goodstein. Everybody comes to the hospital and they see this. They see the safe sleep environment. They leave the hospital. They watch a video while they're at the hospital. They leave with information, and they get a crib if they don't have one. So it's a really comprehensive program that they also have sort of expanded out into their community. And this is Cribs for Kids, which I don't know if any of you. I know they're in, I think, 40-some states now, but they distribute cribs for low-income families at a very low cost, not just the pack-and-play, but they distribute a lot of safe sleep information as well as crib sheets and safe sleep sacks. So I'm going to switch a little bit to talk about reporting on the findings and the data that's being used into the case registry, because that's part of what we manage. So our child death review teams, we have, well, I'll get into that in a minute, but That little form I just passed out, that little form, the 16-page form, has about 1,200 data elements that our child death review teams, not just our SUID states, but our child death review teams around the country voluntarily have enrolled themselves into this data reporting system. We enroll by state, not by local team. So California, I think, I'm trying to think, everybody here is a member. Now that I'm thinking about it, all of you, Texas, South Carolina, though you're not a very strong user, but you are enrolled, Minnesota, New York, Wisconsin, you guys are all users. Now that I'm thinking about it, how do you like that? The tool itself, the web-based system, is it's web-based. It uses real-time data. It's really easy. So a local user would do a case, and they would fill out that form online. So it's actually much less cumbersome than the paper form because it's all based on skip patterns. But it's very comprehensive. It's prevention-focused. We have layers of users, so the local teams can enter their data and see their local reviews. The state can aggregate and see any of the local team reviews, and at the national level, we see aggregated de-identified data. So we can, and that's what part of the data set that we send to the CDC. People can enter, search, print, and download their data, and they can also create 32 standardized reports, which are nice for local communities that don't have strong EPI resources. It makes it a very easy tool for them to just create these reports. And our center provides all the training and help desk support. And I should say we're funded. Most of this effort is funded through the Maternal and Child Health Bureau at HRSA with supplementary funding from the CDC for the SUID part. And it's a free system to the users. So if your state is using this and you want access to some of that data to do some work, and I would encourage you to contact your state child death review coordinator because you guys are collecting this data. So this is kind of a complicated map. The bottom line is anything in the really light blue, they're not using the system yet. Everybody else is, and the green states are using the system, and they're required to collect the extra SUID questions. There's like 4 extra pages of questions related to sudden unexplained infant deaths. And that's just, you guys already, I passed that around, so you've seen this already. Lots of, you mentioned, what do you collect? Well, we collect a lot. I mean, it's almost crazy how much information is being collected. The good news is the SUID-funded states are really collecting it. Mm-hmm. So, and the other thing is regarding data dissemination, we do now, just recently, we've created it with HRSA support. We have a data dissemination policy. So researchers can access the de-identified nationally aggregated data through a formal application to the National Center. And we've got about 114,000 cases in the system from 36 states, of which 15% are sleep-related. Pretty robust set of data. And only the data that the states have said is cleaned is what we're able to disseminate out for analysis. So that includes about 10,200 sleep-related deaths from 24 states. We actually had a first paper, on it, published in APHA this past summer using a HRSA secondary data analysis grant. Our center is kind of the go-to place for child death review. We have models of how to do legislation for CDR, protocols and guides to reviews. We do a lot of state-based training on child death review. I think I've been to all of your states doing state-level training. And we have a lot of tools in mortality, access to mortality data and what have you. And we do a lot of work helping people plan prevention resources. I think that's it because we have a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm.